Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
There's a scripture that says, don't forsake the assembly of the brethren like some people are prone to do. If you're not there in the presence of God with the people of God in the church as it's functioning, how will you ever figure out where you plug in?
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
There is nothing like being in the service of the King. And I'm excited about today. Anytime I get a chance to offer something to you truth seekers, to the ones that are listening, it is a privilege of mine. So welcome to Truth Infusion. I'm David Markham. This is Truth Infusion Ministries. And sitting across from me again this week is one of my best friends, Mr. Kelly Wright.
Hello, Mr. David. So glad to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here. Kelly, you're just one of those people that when you show up, I feel encouraged.
Well, you encourage me.
So, Kelly, if you weren't with us last week, you need to get on the truthinfusion.com and pull up the radio page and listen to last week's show, because Kelly was in the studio with me last week.
I was. It was fun.
And we had a great time in the Lord, great time in the Word, covered some I think, very necessary information for the day and times that we live. So I'm not going to get into that again. Go back and listen to it. I know you'll be blessed and you will identify with what was discussed last week. But we're going to go in a different direction this week. Kelly and I were just kind of sitting here visiting and talking. I'm going to throw something at you that you may know this. You probably do know this. I think I brought this up a little while ago, but last year, at the end of the year, the close of the year, I was able to look at the kind of the stats behind the scenes on the website of truthinfusion.com.
Right.
And it was able to see the amount of worldwide nations around the world, I guess is the better way to say it, that spent time on the website and listening to the radio show. I was just blown away. I think there's 209 nations in the world. And I believe last year we were able to reach out to almost 170.
That's amazing.
It blows my mind because,
that
Kelly,
amazing.
I have this awesome radio voice,
it is awesome.
I know nothing about radio, and I was being sarcastic when I said that. But we don't know all there is to know about radio. The reason I bring all that up, there's a lot of people listening.
That's amazing.
And and here's what Kelly and I were kind of hinting at a second ago. And the reason I said that is because I believe that what we're going to talk about for a few minutes today, in some way or another, reaches out to every person that's listening.
Right.
If you're in the body of Christ, if you're saved and you know it, then one way or another, this topic matter today is going to affect you.
Right.
Because the bottom line is, if you are saved, if you are in Christ and He is in you, then you are a minister of God.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
A lot of people don't realize that. Most of the time we relegate that to clergymen.
We do. And people don't realize that once you become saved, you are called into the ministry.
You have been given. Really, that's what happens.
That's exactly
when
what
the
happens.
Holy Spirit begins to knock on your heart.
You are commissioned.
He's calling you.
You're called.
And somebody's driving in their car right now and saying, Kelly, you don't know me and I don't know you, but listen. There's nothing I can do in the church.
Oh, there is. Absolutely, there is. And we're going to talk about that today.
That's exactly what we want to talk about. Because if you don't realize that you fit into this, you know, the body of Christ as a whole, but a local body, a local church also, then you are never going to find fulfillment.
You won't. You will not have a complete you want to have a complete Christian walk.
Yeah.
You just can't. For one thing, Brother David, what is a body?
Okay.
I mean, let's just start there. A head, torso, arms.
Many parts. Working together.
And for folks that say, well, I'm not called into anything. I'm meant to come to the church and hang out and smile.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
I would like to beg to differ.
Yeah.
There is such thing as even the hairs on your toes.
Have a purpose.
They have a purpose.
And here's what we glamorize, especially in America. And I have to try to keep that in mind because there's a lot of people around the world that are listening that their concepts in everyday life when it comes to church is different than what we experience in America.
Yes, absolutely.
But in America, we have these superstars called pastors.
Right.
And a lot of times it's not the pastor's fault, but we glamorize them and we set them on this high pedestal and we shine a bright spotlight on our pastors, and to the point that in a lot of churches we feel like that is the minister of the church.
Right. And that's just not should not be the way the church functions.
Right.
The pastor is equipping us and giving us the tools and teaching us.
Absolutely. His job is to help train and disciple
the ministers of the church.
Who is anybody that is saved.
Anybody and everybody that is saved.
Okay,
that's
so
right.
So we were dealing with some scripture earlier, and I hope that by us saying those things, everybody that's now listening realizes this is for me.
This is for you.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So Kelly was pointing out some scripture in 1 Peter. Where are we going to read a little bit?
1 Peter chapter 4. Let's start with verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Mm. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So there are so many people that just have a hospitality type personality.
Yeah.
Door greeters.
Sure.
I can't tell you how many times we've just needed people just to stand at the door and say, howdy.
Yeah.
That's a ministry.
It absolutely is. Let me tell you, just a few weeks ago, my pastor was talking about a particular Sunday that there were two guests, and there may have been more guests than just these two, but these were the ones that stood out to him for this reason. Two people came from different places, different worlds, didn't know each other. They ended up at our church on a Sunday some time ago. At the end of the service, one of those guests comes up to Brother Todd and just says, "We have found home. Everything that we experienced today was a blessing to us. These people loved on us. This church body is so giving and loving and hospitable, like you said. That's somebody wonderful. Must have met him at the door. Somebody loved on him when they were walking down the aisle. Somebody went up and said hello. And they felt like they were just loved on from the beginning to the end, and it affected their lives. The second guest comes up at some point after the service and says, "We'll never come back. This is the most dry, unfriendly place we've ever been."
Same day, same service.
That's amazing. And God knew what he was doing with both of these people. You know, here's what I know. If God doesn't want you in one place because he wants you down the road at this church, he'll do whatever it takes to get you down there.
Right.
But here's what I know. It wasn't just because of what Brother Todd did or didn't do that affected those people. There was a whole lot of ministers that either did reach out or didn't reach out.
Right.
That changed the way that those people experienced the church in that place. But the hospitality,
mm-hmm.
How many
yes.
times have you heard, "I can't go there. That was just the most unfriendly place I've
right.
ever been." You know what they needed? They needed some ministers to reach out to them.
They needed some ministers to reach out to them. And as we can read here, I mean, that's a very important part of what we're supposed to be doing. My church, Ashley, I'm First Assembly of God. There's a plug right there to do in there.
But your pastor will be happy with it.
You can pay me later, Pastor. We have two gentlemen that do the door, and they're always just, you know, they take it so seriously. I mean, I couldn't remove them if I took a bulldozer to get them away from the door. They take it so seriously. But somebody who comes to mind is Joy Belt.
That's
you know,
true.
I mean, you know, when she's helping us out and she's running around with candy and water, taking care of everybody, I mean, that's a ministry.
She is serving in her calling.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, when you see somebody serving their calling, you can peg them that they are doing what they're called to do because they are enjoying it more than anybody else is.
She's so happy.
Yeah.
It's infectious.
Okay, Joy, for those of you that don't know.
Yes, thank you.
Is Wes is the bass, our bass player, and he does other things in the ministry. He goes out and preaches at times. His wife, Joy, is one of the cornerstone of what we do, because she meets us in this ministry aspect of hospitality. She takes care of, you know, the guys and the ladies that are on stage, that are in front of people, the face people of the ministry. It wouldn't be nearly as effective if people like Joy weren't behind the scenes taking care of what they're called to do.
And here's an important part. Nobody asked her to do it. She just did it.
Isn't that the truth?
Isn't that wonderful?
Absolutely.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's necessary.
Absolutely. And listen to this. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. No grumbling. Verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone should speak, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God.
Wow.
There's people that should just be speaking the very words of God in our Christian body. If anyone serves, do it with the strength of God, the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The point that is being made here, that Peter is making here, is that there are things that the laity of God, in other words, the people who are not called into formal ministry,
okay,
that we all have things that we can be doing.
Yeah.
And that's the point that he's making here. It's a wonderful point, too. I guess you would have to say the universal gripe, I would say probably every pastor out there that's listening is like, we need some help.
Yeah.
We need some help.
Yeah.
I'm wearing the same 5 or 10 people out.
Yeah. A lot of times the pastor is worn out.
The pastor's worn out. The poor pastor.
Yeah. Most of our pastors, you know, I had the privilege of seeing the pastor role from a different perspective than a lot of people get, because my father, pastor, grandfather, pastor. And so I got to see it from that point of view. A lot of people have no concept of the 24/7 job.
7 days a week.
A lot of people have this concept that the preacher, he has to come up with a couple of sermons every week.
And he goes home and hangs out.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, the good ones will show up at the hospital when somebody's in the hospital. No clue what these men and sometimes women are doing and dealing with and going through on a regular basis. They wear so many hats.
So many.
In the church. But here's the thing. They get overwhelmed with that when people don't understand that they are called in the church to minister in some aspect. Here's the thing. If I've got a calling within my body, my local body, and I'm not doing it.
Right.
Somebody else is. And when the called person by God, the gifted person by God, is not doing it, and somebody else is, then they're taking on a burden and a responsibility that they're not supposed to be bearing.
And that's right. And two things can happen in those instances. I've heard, one, God will bless the person that faithfully fulfills those roles that they're not supposed to be fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And in the best of cases, the Lord will bless that. But there's other cases where tremendous damage can be done to that ministry.
Yes.
Because the best of intentions does not always work out well.
Right.
I heard a story one time of a lady who had taught Sunday school for years and years and years, and she had finally, I guess, retired from teaching Sunday school after teaching, and people were asking her to give a speech, and she said, "Well, I appreciate it." She said, "You know, I wasn't supposed to do this job. God had picked Sister So-and-so to do this, but they said no. And God had said somebody else to do it, and they said no. I was the fourth person in line,
right,
and here I am," you know. And it was just, as she said, "And God blessed me for doing it."
Yeah.
But she was the fourth person in line to do it.
Yeah.
And so many times, because other people won't step up, we either wear folks out that are just doing multiple positions in the church, because other people who could be doing those jobs will not step up and take those positions. We'll wear people out who have multiple positions, or we'll put people in positions that should not be there.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. One time the church came to me. I was doing multiple positions in my church. The church came to me and they said, "Kelly, we just think you would be a great Sunday school superintendent." I said, "You think so?" And they said, "We sure do. You'd just be a great Sunday school superintendent." And I was like, "Really?" And I was like, "He's like, yeah, we really do. We prayed about it. We think you'd be a good one." I was like, "Okay."
Yeah.
Well, they voted me in. 2 years later, I had not done anything. You know why I was Sunday school superintendent? Because I had "sucker" written across my forehead. That's exactly
why. Here's what I know happens in the church is what you're saying. if you want something done, don't go to somebody that's not doing anything.
Yes.
The person that just shows up, they're the last person to show up, they're the first people to leave, they don't have any responsibilities. You don't go ask that person to do something. If you want it done, you go ask the person that's probably doing more than they should do already.
Mm.
Because, and I'm not saying this is the right thing to do, but this is how this happens. They realize that person is a workhorse in this church.
Right.
And they'll do something. When the truth is, the person that you would think, in theory, the person that's not very busy in the church would be the person that says, you know what? I'm not doing anything right now, and I would love to be about that. But you're right. What happens is we end up asking that person that loves the church, loves the Lord, understands the value of working in the church, would you do this too? Well, just like you said, okay, I guess I'll give that a shot. 2 years later, how effective had you been?
Well, I had just about destroyed the Sunday school program just from not doing anything.
But you weren't called to that position.
I was not called to that position. We have a wonderful Sunday school superintendent now who's doing a phenomenal job. You know, she's great at it. I'm a teacher. The Lord's called me to teach, and I feel very passionate about teaching, and I feel very comfortable in doing that. But as a Sunday school superintendent, I'm just looking around going, okay, what do you want me to do? Nobody wanted me to do anything. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you're looking for the person who's called to that position to tell you how to operate in it.
Yes, it's like, what should I do?
Yeah, and it's comical because you understood what it was like to be in that spot.
Absolutely.
But you know how many people are struggling with church work because they're in a position they're not gifted for and called for, and they look at church work as a drudgery.
Right.
Because they have accepted something or been asked to do something that God never intended for them to do.
Right. It's a matter of convenience.
And then you look at the person that's doing something that we would call a menial job. But because they're in their called area of ministry, they could not be happier.
Absolutely.
With their service for the Lord.
And these things are important. You know, that's the one thing that I guess if I was going to say I get aggravated about, people just need to understand, if you're out there and you're saying, well, what can I do? I don't feel like this is important. If it's in the church, it's important.
And that, yes.
It's eternal. It's eternal. Do not think that anything that you do in the church has no meaning.
Yeah.
And please don't think that. Get involved. I don't care if you come in and it's like, well, all I feel like I can do is wipe one shelf down a week.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Do it to the glory of God.
Do it. Do it.
Yeah.
And be glad about it.
Yeah.
It needs to be done. It's important.
I remember when Jennifer and I we began Truth and Fusion Ministries, and part of that calling into this ministry is God told us to leave the church that we had been serving at for quite a while. And we were both in areas of service there and had been for 10, 12 years. But it was kind of like an Abraham type call of leave your land, leave your father's, you know, your family and your ministry, go, and I'll tell you when you get there. When we first started Truth and Fusion, we didn't even know what we were supposed to be or do.
Right.
We just took off. So we also started looking for another home church wherever God wanted us to land. It took us about a year and a half, honestly, Kelly, because we'd go and we'd find great churches and we enjoyed some of the services and parts of what they were doing was wonderful, but we just didn't feel like this is the one. Until we got to down here to Redwater, we went 3 weeks in a row and joined on the fourth. We knew immediately that this is where God had called us. But
right.
Because I've been in church ministry for so long, I understand the value of a committed church member.
Right.
Of someone that doesn't come to church just to see what they can get, but they come to church because they know that they have been called into the body to give.
Right.
Which is what we're talking about. You have an opportunity, if you love the Lord, to give. So I sat down with my pastor the week before we joined, and I said this to him. I said, I feel like the Lord wants us to come here, but I'm not going to be a very good church member. And what I meant by that was Truth Infusion Ministries is going to have me out.
I'm going to be gone a lot.
75% of the time in some months. And I understand the value of having somebody there on a regular basis serving in the area God's called them to be in. And I knew that that wasn't going to be... It didn't appear that that's what I was going to get to do. Let me tell you what my pastor said to me. And he goes right along what we're talking about. He said, David, if this is where God's calling you, then number one, this church will support your ministry. And number two, you will have a role to fulfill here.
How awesome is that?
Yeah. And he was right.
And that's part of being a part of the body right there.
Right.
You are an extension of the body. And that's what the wonderful part about it is. It doesn't matter if you're in-house or out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
When you're part of the body, if you're reaching out like an arm or a leg, you're still part of the body.
Yeah.
It's just that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it's supposed to work.
Yeah. And when it works right, there's nothing like it because this is God's plan.
It flows in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
It just works. But it takes all of us. It takes everybody participating.
Yeah.
And I want to speak to my hunting and fishing buddies out
there
for just a moment.
They're out there.
They're out there. You know, and you know who you are. You hunting and fishing buddies out there who creep in on Sunday mornings. And I'm joking around a little bit. But, you know, we do have people that say, well, you know, I don't know what I can do, Kelly. I'm just a tough old guy that likes to hunt and fish. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Well, you've got something you can do in the church. And you say, well, what can I do? It's like, well, why don't you have a class with some of the other hunting and fishing buddies in the church? We'll have like a little campfire. We'll have a little Bible study or just a little prayer time. And we'll have like a little men's group. Mm-hmm. Something like, you can do stuff like that.
Yeah, you can reach out.
You can reach out through your passion. You can reach out to the things that you're passionate about and tie it into the things of Christ. You don't have to have a three-piece suit, you know, and tie on to do the things of God.
Right.
Use the things that you're passionate about and bring it home. Use the things that God's put into you. I was talking to you about this while ago about Peter. Do you remember when Jesus found Peter, what was he doing?
He was fishing.
He was fishing. He was fishing. And Jesus knew that he was a fisherman.
Yeah.
And he said, come on, Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men.
Right.
Even Jesus recognized that Peter was a fisherman. So all you bass anglers out there, Jesus knows you're a fisherman. He already knows it. You don't have to run from that. Here's the deal, though. When Christ was crucified and all the mess was going on, Peter was scared.
Yeah.
And then he ran off. And even after Jesus was resurrected and Peter's confused, everything's going, he doesn't know where Jesus is at, and Jesus is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Peter do? He went back to fishing.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said, what are you doing? And he said he was out there trying to catch fish again.
Yeah.
And he said, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Jesus said, Jesus went out there and found Peter fishing again.
He knew how to reach him.
He knew how to reach him. Peter was a fisherman.
Yeah.
And Jesus recognized the natural tendencies of Peter was he was a fisherman. And Jesus said, yeah, you can fish, but I'm going to make you a fisherman of men.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So I'm telling you guys, or whoever you may be out there, you have passion in you for things. Take that, and if you say, well, right now I don't know what my call for God is, take what you are passionate about and use it for Jesus Christ. Use it in the church.
Yeah, if people would look at it that way, if I were to just sit across the table from somebody, you know, new Christian, maybe new to the church concept, and I want to do something, I don't know what to do, probably the first thing I would ask them, what do you like about church the most?
Yeah.
What do you enjoy? And it may not be something about the Sunday morning service as much as it may be. You know, I love when we get together on Wednesday nights and we do this.
We play volleyball or something.
There may be, yeah. If the thing that really flips your switches,
right,
in the church, that there may be something in that area that God's calling you to. Because you know what, Kelly? You know this. I know this. When you find your niche, man, it lights you up.
It does.
You look forward. You could do it. I could do it all day long, be worn out physically, and want to do it some more.
I want to do it some more.
Because you find the place that God has crafted and made you to plug in.
And God made you that way.
Yeah.
God made you. It was years before the Lord finally showed me that my calling was to teach. And I prayed for a long time for that. But I didn't just sit on the bench waiting.
Yeah.
I was trying things. I was doing things. I was out there doing it, you know.
Yeah. One thing that I heard you say a couple of days ago, was when you were talking about you were in a certain meeting, revival meeting or something, and you saw a guitar player plug in and start playing a guitar, and you thought, you can do that in church?
Yes.
You can do that? You realized the light bulb went on.
He hit a note that I like. And it wasn't the typical church note, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then when he did that, my light bulb went off, and it was like, and the tears began to flow, and I knew that I'm taking my guitar and I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the moments, you know, and those moments can happen, but you got to be available. You got to be there.
That is a huge word. There's a scripture that says, don't forsake the assembly of the brethren like some people are prone to do.
Yes.
If you're not there in the presence of God with the people of God in the church as it's functioning, how will you ever figure out where you plug in?
Right.
It's not like you just, stumble in the back door one day and figure out what you're supposed to do.
I just thought of something. When I stub my toe, it hurts really bad. Yeah. It's still got to go with me.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? If you're a bruised up toe in the body of Christ, you still got to be there. You got to show up.
Yeah. You'll never find your place
if you're not there.
If you're not looking around the place.
Come on.
To see what's in the place.
You got to be there.
Why don't you come down to the church house sometime?
We need you.
We need you at the
church. Folks, we need you at the church.
There is a system in this body. When God puts his plan together, it's for a reason.
That's absolutely
right.
It's
not going to function any other way.
It's not. And it works so well when you're there. And the church needs you.
Yeah. Truth seekers, wherever you're at, you've been listening, and there's a lot of somebodies out there that this is reaching to that love the Lord, love the church.
Yes, they do.
And are just desiring. Ben, you've been praying for it, perhaps. God, what can I do for you? God has a place for you.
Yes, he does.
You've been called, and you are gifted with a specific purpose in the church. So get down to the church. Keep praying, keep in the word, keep seeking, and God's going to open up a door for you to serve.
That's right. And don't be weary in well-doing.
That's a good word.
Don't be weary. Just because it don't show up all of a sudden like a flashlight turning on, don't get weary in it. Just participate. Get in there. Help out.
Yeah.
Do it.
Before you know it, God's going to open up a door. And whenever it's right, just like you hearing that guy hit that note, you knew immediately what I was supposed to be doing then. I'm going to play guitar just like that.
It was like barbecue chicken. It was good.
It's good stuff. It's finger licking good. Well, Kelly, man, thank you for coming by another time.
Thank you.
Let's do it again someday.
I'd love to.
Truth seekers, wherever you're at, if you're called of God, you are a minister.
Amen.
So get out there and minister the word. Get into your church. And until the next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.